Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Compromise that must take place. You strive too far for the world and its lusts and its pleasures, you will sacrifice your own eternal soul. But even Christians make that sacrifice. They come to faith, but they're not all in for the Lord. They focus on other things. I want to get this, and I want to obtain this, and I want to do this before I die, and I got to have this. And so we pursue worldly things. We wonder why we're not more mature, why we don't know the scriptures better, why God hasn't used us more significantly.
What are you pouring yourself into in this life? Are you pursuing wealth, success, or power? Or are you seeking a life that glorifies God, even when it means denying your own desires and dreams? As Pastor Troy challenges us in today's message, it'll be hard to let go of those things, but the life you'll find in Christ is worth it. As you seek Him, you will find peace and fulfillment that can't be found in the things of this world. Beyond that, your eternal rewards will be beyond the scope of human imagination. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 8 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Don't do this. Stay away from this. Don't touch these things. Turn to these things. Don't look at this. Don't watch this. Don't listen to this. Take in what's good and what's right. We go, man, Christians can't have any fun. It's the same attitude the Israelites had. And we can get very arrogant because while we're not having any fun, we begin to look down on others. Think, well, at least I don't do what they do. And we become just like them. So Christ died to show us how bad all of it was, how bad our sin really was. He says that none will teach his neighbor or brother, so that they know God. See, in Moses' day, even in Jesus' day, it was the religious leaders who taught the scriptures. They handled the scriptures. No one else. You can't handle those. Put those away. You're going to do some damage with those. So let us have them. And Moses was the one who heard from God, and he would declare it to the people. They couldn't come close to him. So the idea of his writing his law in our hearts and that no one will have to teach doesn't mean you don't need to go to church, that there aren't gifted teachers, and I don't need anybody to teach me. That's not the point of this. The point is you have access to me directly, and I will raise you up, and I'll teach you, and I'll talk directly to your heart, and you can know me. You won't need anyone to say to you, let me teach you so you know the Lord, because you'll be able to know the Lord. Because this new covenant offers us a personal relationship through Christ. It's complete because he atones for sin. And he says he remembers it no more. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Verse 13 says, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete, gone. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So now we'll talk about what it means, his points. What does all this mean? What's he really trying to say? Here's what he's saying. This life and all that we know and all that we do and all the rules and things that we function under, it's all passing away. It's all temporary. And we need to fix our eyes on that which is heavenly and eternal. That's the point. You guys are trying to operate under this earthly system that is never going to end. I mean, someone dies, someone raises up, and then eventually, you know, when Christ comes, we're going to put an end to all that. But as far as our life cycle goes, it's just never ending, just keeps going. Same thing, another sacrifice, another sacrifice. He said, it was just a shadow, just a picture. What Christ did was once for all, it was the real thing. We don't need any of that anymore. All those play rehearsals, we don't need them because the reality has come. Now, there are lots of lessons that we need to learn from them, like obedience, submission. There's only one way to approach. But we don't need to do those things because now we have Christ. All its laws, all its hierarchy, all the world holds as important is going to pass away. And we'll find for those who've invested so much in just worldly things that it wasn't the best investment of your time, energy, resources. So it means where you spend eternity is actually the most important thing. Verse 13 says, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. In fact, their own temple that was standing at the time would be destroyed in 70 AD. This world is becoming obsolete, growing old. It's ready to pass away. And for some of us, when we consider all that's going on around us in the Middle East, we start thinking, man, it's going to be soon. It looks like it's going to be soon. Things are lining up that have not lined up before. And unless we have a worldwide revival of sorts, we're already below the threshold of where God needs to start judging even us. So we see it. It's coming. Everything we've been working hard. What are you working hard for? Where's all your time going? Let me bring this to an earthly level first. There are some who spend all their time chasing a career, school, you name it. They spend thousands and thousands of dollars, and they spend years and years and years chasing something that ultimately changes, or their career path changes, or then they go into the ministry and they didn't need any of it. We spend so much to chase after things, and we sacrifice some things that the Bible calls important. That is time with Him, building up your family, your home, fathers investing in the home, mothers investing in the home. We're doing everything else but the things that we should be doing. That's just on an earthly level. To an even greater and I think a more sinful level, there are godly things, spiritual things, heavenly things, eternal things that we ought to be doing. We're neglecting those things because we're busy doing the things on the world, trying to survive here, get it done, take care of myself, set myself up for the future, which is slowly and slowly becoming less and less significant as you have less and less of it ahead of you. And even if you gain the world, Scripture says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul in the process? It's really hard to pursue the Lord and the world. There's a compromise that must take place. If you strive too far for the world and its lusts and its pleasures, you will sacrifice your own eternal soul. But even Christians make that sacrifice. They come to faith, but they're not all in for the Lord. They focus on other things. I want to get this, and I want to obtain this, and I want to do this before I die, and I got to have this. And so we pursue worldly things. We wonder why we're not more mature, why we don't know the Scriptures better, why God hasn't used us more significantly. So all that's in this world is passing away. What a shame. I know the cry of a mother for a child. When a woman wants a child, she does what she needs to get that husband and have that child. And she pursues only to find that life isn't all that great. Children aren't perfect. Just any man won't do. You need a godly man. And we get ourselves into trouble. And we find ourselves in a miserable place because we're pursuing worldly things, putting them first. We make a lot of mistakes. But when we fix our eyes on the Lord, He leads us in the ways that are right. And yes, we may not get a lot of the things that at this current time that we want because they're not good for us. They would destroy us, but we're blind. We're lost in that sense. We don't realize that. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And I've been walking with the Lord for a while, yet there are still things that someone tells me and I go, nah, I don't see it that way. Only to find later on through experiences, through hardships, through making some bad decisions, I look back and go, oh, that's what they meant. That's what that meant. Because one thing I have learned is we all think we know more than we actually do. 100% of us. Every one of us in here thinks we know more than we actually do. Because here's why. There's nothing to do about this except to accept it as truth. We don't know what we don't know. Does that make sense? All right, good. It's like a circular reason. What are you talking about? When we don't know something, we don't know that we don't know it. Like atheists, right? I don't believe in God. Oh, well, that makes it true, right? Doesn't make it true. Well, there's a lot of stuff we don't know. But God knows. He knows about us too. That won't fix my problem. I remember one time I was working on an air conditioning unit. Someone told me, I called in, I said, I've tried everything. I've ohmed it out. I've checked it with the gauges. I've done everything. I've amped it out. I've done everything, you know. And they said, pull off, blow it, put it back on. Try that. I said, man, I'm not. So I pulled off the little contactor. Like, this is dumb. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever done. I put it on, and it was like a minute. There was a little slight delay. Like, no way. Well, they had experienced it. They knew the contactor was starting to go out, and that it was very sensitive to dirt, the elements. So they said, sometimes with that one right now, we've crimped it. We've done what we can, and we actually have one on order. So we pulled it off. You put it on. I said, he could have told me that, but apparently he wanted me to learn some valuable lesson to trust him. So I learned that sometimes the simplest of changes make the biggest differences. You and I overlook that truth so often in our lives, and so we don't change things. No, that's not going to do anything. No, that's not going to help. And yet God is saying, am I God? I ask you to just, and I ask you to do something you can do, and you won't do it because you say, that's not it, Lord. Hey, pull it off, blow on it, put it on. Trust me. I got things on order for you. See, this life, this world, it's all going to pass. All the troubles in it, they're all going to pass. Life is so difficult at times. So difficult, like I cannot take another step in these circumstances. Yet the Lord says, try bearing that cross I bore. Try that. You're unhappy because things aren't perfect in your world and the way you want them. But try picking up your cross, like I said. Denying yourself and following me. And I will show you life. I will show you what I'm able to do. Stop trying to fix so many things and pick up your cross and trust in me.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. When a sinner trusts in Christ, he receives a new nature. A nature that desires to know and please God. A nature that we didn't have before. Brand new. It's what we call being born again. You never had this conviction, this internal conviction before. Now, when you're born again, if you've experienced this, you walk into places where you used to go and feel okay, and then all of a sudden it's like, what's going on? I feel this is bad. This was never bad before. And there's conviction. And it takes a little getting used to. You go back to church, and then all of a sudden the pastor teaches, and there's a voice, and you hear the voice, and it's the voice of the Lord, and he's convicting you, and you think, oh, that's what that is. Oh, man, that means you're convicting me. And let me go a little further. That means the thing he's convicting you of is now sin for you. So now going in there isn't just wrong, it's sin. But when we trust in Christ, he enables us, Christ enables us to follow him, to pick up our cross, to deny ourselves, to stop pursuing the things that are taking all of our time and energy and giving ourselves completely to him. The old law was written on the stone tablets, remember? Stone tablets that Moses broke. But the new law, he says, I'm going to speak right to your heart. I will speak to you. I will lead you. See, there's a personal relationship with Christ. And you know what? He is so good that it doesn't depend upon how well you do. You're going to fail, especially early on. You're even going to deny, like Peter. You're going to fail him in that sense, choosing because you're weak. And that will happen. But you'll also cry out. There'll be a sense of conviction, frustration. You'll cry out to the Lord, and he won't go, I told you, I even told you in advance, and you didn't follow me. No, like Peter, he says, do you love me? Then I'm calling you to myself. I want you to serve me, feed my sheep. Do you love me? He gave him three times. I think it was to balance out or to counter, make a point. You denied me the three times. I just want you to know, I know you love me, Peter. Not perfectly, but I know you love me. And so he continues to call us. Verse 12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Now that causes me to breathe a sigh of relief. There are things I don't even want to remember that I did. There were dumb things that I did. That's a promise that I hang my hat on. You may dwell on your sins. You may dwell on your past, but God doesn't. He doesn't dwell on all that stuff. You may feel unworthy to serve the Lord, but the Lord calls you. Every now and then you'll hear someone say, you know, I'll forgive them, but I am not going to forget. That's not really forgiveness. It's like burying the hatchet, leaving the handle out for easy access. All right, I've buried the hatchet, but I know exactly where it is. When I need it, I'm going to pull it out. Now let's move on. That's not a genuine forgiveness. When we talk about forgetting, it doesn't mean that you have the ability to erase from your mind what someone has done or some event that has happened. You don't have that ability. It means that you make a willful choice not to treat a person based upon what had happened, some fault, some event. You make a willful choice to do that. That's what it means to forget. Obviously, we can't forget everything. I mean, if someone commits a crime against children, we're not going to allow them to serve in our children's ministry ever. If someone has in their past committed a crime financially, more than likely we're not going to say, can you be our bookkeeper? It's a temptation. It's a weakness for them, we've already seen. But we don't have to walk around all the time going, what did you do? Are you taking money? Are you reaching into the offering box? We don't have to do that. You move on. You use wisdom, but you don't treat them like everything's still being hung over their head. When God says he will remember our sins no more, it doesn't mean that when you come up to him saying, I'm a sinner, you are? Man, it's not in my brain anywhere. I'm God, I know everything, and I don't see it. That's not what he means. It means that he chooses not to acknowledge that sin, not to treat you as if you're a sinner. See, he knows Christ died for a reason, and you're part of that reason. He knows that. He's never going to forget that. Like, the Lamb, my son, crucified. It's not making sense. You guys are perfect. But instead, he's going to choose not to treat us like sinners. Justified means just as if I'd never sinned. That's the way I'm treated. I've been justified in Christ. So there's no lapse of memory for God. God chooses to treat you as if nothing had happened. So if we are to forgive others, that's exactly how we're to do it. God set a pattern for us. So don't say, I can't forgive because I'm not like God. Well, he's given you his love into your heart so that you can forgive just like God. You have the ability because God said you do. He doesn't ask us to do anything we can't do. And listen to this. This is an important one. If you want God to treat you according to your own faults, if you don't want him to treat you according to your own faults, then learn to forgive. Because though in heaven we'll be cleansed and perfect, here there are consequences he might withhold, but if we're not going to forgive others, he may just say, okay, all right, you're not going to forgive others? I'm going to allow these consequences to fall upon you. You've earned them. I want to overlook them, but you won't forgive others. So with that said, it should not only inspire us, but motivate us. See, I want to be more forgiving. I need forgiveness. And I want to be one who forgives. Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Isn't that what Jesus said when they asked, how do we pray? Teach us to pray. That's what he said. So where Christ is, I want you to know that. He's in heaven. What Christ did, he died once for all. The perfect sacrifice, the real sacrifice. Why did he do it? Because we were helpless. We were lost. We couldn't save ourselves. And what does that mean? It means we need to become more eternal-minded, more heavenly-minded. It's been said, some are so heavenly-minded, they're no earthly good. I don't think that can happen. Because when your mind is set upon the Lord completely, you are very earthly good. Because that's how he leads you. I understand the sentiment. The sentiment is, you're just so caught up in the clouds spiritually that you're not practical. Like, you got to pay your bills. You got to pay your bills. The Lord will pay my bills. You got to get a job. I don't need a job. The Lord is my job. Like, okay, that's what we're talking about. That's not heavenly minded. That's just weird. That's hyper spiritual. He gives us the practical things to do. He says, you got to get a job. The Lord says, yeah, I said, man doesn't eat. I mean, if he doesn't work, he's not going to eat. It's the way it works. It's the way I roll. And so we go, okay, Lord, provide a job. And guess what we do? We go look. We go do our part. I love when Peter was in prison. The shackles were taken off, but the angel said, get up, walk, get your cloak, let's go. He didn't carry him. Peter didn't go, if the Lord wants me over there, he'll take me. All right, take you over here. No, he said, get up. The Lord gives us direction in his word and he enables us. But we need forgiveness of our sin so that we can move on without that weight of guilt that keeps so many down. He forgives us. And as far as east is from west, so he has removed your sin from you. And he says, what sin? Oh, he knows, but he will never treat you like a sinner. He'll treat you like Christ. I'm not that good. And yet when he looks at me, he sees his son. Paul said, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Let's learn to represent Christ. Let's learn to forgive others, receiving that forgiveness for ourselves first. And the main point, let's fix our eyes on heaven, where the eternal throne is, the King that we're called to serve.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in